Good morning once again. I'm just making sure you're still around. It's wonderful to be standing here and sharing God's word. It is not wonderful when the subject you're dealing with is not that easy. You know, we as a church are going through the Apostolic Creed. And every Sunday, we are trying to understand different elements that we see from the creed. Now you would say, yeah, but Satan is not mentioned in the creed. He is not. But Satan is very much present and active in the biblical narrative. And I think, therefore, it is important for us as a church family to see what Bible helps us to understand about Satan, so that we know that what we go through and situations and circumstances and temptations that we face is nothing new, and that we are not on our own. So this morning, before I start and share what God has brought to my mind throughout this week, I would like to give us an opportunity to maybe read a few Bible verses that or share what we know about Satan. So let's start from the common resource. Let's see what is our understanding. What does Bible talk about Satan in the Bible? Yeah, sorry. Too many hands. Emily, I'll come, then I'll come to Jenny.
He is a liar.
He is a liar. Hello. Is it? No, I know.
He's a fallen angel. And he took one third of all the angels with him when he fell, because he was so proud and prideful. He wanted to be God.
Yes, that's my first point. So we'll come back to that. But thank you. That's my first point. So somebody shortened. That's great. I saw another hand. Yes, Margaret.
We need to think about those loved ones who died in the war.
Yes.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
He comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
I think he was known as Lucifer, meaning light bearer.
Yes. I'm not verifying all the information.
He questions, he challenges what God says. So we had the passage from Genesis, but there's also Job where he says, have you seen my servant Job who was so good? And also the temptations of Jesus when he questions what tries to get God to, yeah.
That's fine. Thank you.
In Luke 10, Jesus says that he himself saw heaven, saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. So Jesus was there in heaven at that time.
Thank you.
Sorry, he was supposed to be the angel of worship, and so when he fell, then worship became even more important, I suppose, in God's kingdom. And worship is really a key, praise and worship is really a key to establishing God's throne, because the Satan will try to steal worship from God, and he knows how to do it because he was the angel of worship.
That's a lot of information. That's a lot.
And one good one. He is defeated.
He is defeated. That is wonderful. Can I have my slide, please? Thank you, Ollie. I'll talk about the image a bit later. If you are disturbed about it, if you think, oh, that looks lovely, join the leadership team. I'll tell you the story behind it. Like, I generally don't do with PPTs, okay? That's not my style. So generally, if you see me using an image, you would find my whole sermon there. Okay, and therefore then this is what we are going to talk about during the whole sermon this morning. Now, origin and existence of Satan, we have already heard that he is a created being. He was in heaven worshipping God. Pride filled his heart. He said to himself, I would one day become higher than God and would sit on the throne. And God, therefore, then threw him out of heaven. And Ezekiel 28:15 and Isaiah 14:12-15 are these two basic texts from which this view comes from. Now, when you actually read these texts, this Bible portion, these are addressing the earthly kings. But the way they are written and the way prophets use them, it is largely concluded that it also gives us the image or a story of what happened to Satan. And the reason why it is believed, because there are not just, see, one thing about biblical interpretation that we need to completely understand, that none of the interpretation, none of the understanding that we take from any verse should be ever based on one verse. You know, there are a lot of one-verse theologies, a lot of one-verse biblical understanding. We always have to check what other references and other stories in the Bible are talking about that verse. How is that biblical principle reflected, or how that thought is reflected. Therefore, when we talk about these two as the main passages, there are other stories and verses and things that are mentioned in the Bible that completes that narrative, that supports that story of Satan. But I suppose we are not here this morning to build the profile for Satan. You know, who he was and where he lives and all that stuff. But I suppose the interesting part, or the important part for us this morning, would be the next two things. What is the aim of Satan? And how does he do it? You know, grammar kept correcting me on there, and one said this and one the other said, so I went with this. So how does he do it? We read in 1 Peter that Satan is like a lion. And doing what? He is not just a roaring lion in a cage, which looks amazing. And we said, wow, that's a nice lion, right? But he is a lion that is looking to see whom he can devour, whom he can distract. You know, we spoke about sin last week, and we said the basic meaning of sin is missing the mark, right? The aim of living a holy life is the mark for us. The aim of being in God's relationship is the mark that we have to live our life on. And Satan actively distracts and disturbs us from fulfilling that aim in our life. And that is the task of Satan. That's what Satan does. He distracts us from being in relationship with the Lord. You know, I know one of the subtopics that we wanted to discuss, or when we made the plan for sermon series throughout this term, was talking about spiritual warfare, which closely relates to Satan. But this morning I would not be doing that, but I would certainly like to say that spiritual warfare is real. We have, even at this time in this room, we have a lot of different perspectives on that. And we can have a lot of discussion, spend whole day on understanding and talking and see what the Bible says and what we must do and what we should be doing and all that stuff. We can have a whole lot of discussion on that. But I don't want to enter into that space of discussing that. But I want to make this really, really clear that spiritual warfare is real. But in my opinion, and you are more than okay to disagree with me on this. That many a times when we find ourselves in the situation, we tend not to look at the Lord. You know, for me, the Bible clearly says the battle belongs to the Lord. And therefore, if I find myself in a situation where I think, oh, that is not really something, right? One thing I do is I run to the Lord. That is not our battle to fight, my friends. At least when I read the Bible, I don't read it that way. We have a beautiful chapter in Ephesians chapter 6, which talks about armor of God. If we read that passage is not talking about soldier being in a very aggressive state, willing to go for a war. It is soldier who is ready, who is in defense to protect himself or herself in case someone's attack. But again, the battle belongs to the Lord. The weapon that we have in our hands is the word of God and prayer and the relationship that we have with the Lord. You know, in Hindi movies or in a lot of movies, there was this dialogue in the earlier days, do you know who my father is? And literally, that should be our stand when we find ourselves in situations which are not in our control. We should literally stand there and say, do you know who my father is? So I'm going to my father. Samuel doesn't come to me now. But he would soon. He has been saying da 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 a lot. You will hear him say that. But then, spiritual warfare, the existence of Satan is real. The existence of God is real. But we have just said Satan is the created being. He is no higher than God. You know, we have this beautiful story in Book of Job which Joanna mentioned. When Satan wanted to test Job's faith and his relationship with God, what he did? He went and asked God's permission. God is powerful over Satan. And we don't have that power. We have that power because we trust in the Lord. And therefore, when we find ourselves in that situation, in that place, please, my dear friends, run to the Father. Ask God to guide you. Ask God to help you. You know, this is one of the best verses for me. I know the Bible is the best book. But the verse that I depend and read a lot is Psalm 23, verse 4. And that is the best thing. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, what it says? Fear no evil, for you are with me. Let Satan be there. Let him be the roaring lion, ready to willing, looking at us, trying to find every opportunity to break our relationship with the Lord. But God is with us. And that is something that is really, really important for us to believe. That is really, really important for us to walk on. That is a really, really important truth that we must not let that slip away from our minds. And yet, every time we find ourselves in trouble, every time we find ourselves in a difficult situation, what is our posture? Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. That's not right. We should be praying. We should be committing every situation in God's hands. Because we don't have a power, but God has. Coming to the image, you know, and if you have seen the other image, I had the box of macaroons, right? I couldn't think of what image I should use for Satan this morning. You know, we can think, every time we think of Satan, or most of the time when we think of Satan, we can think of ugly face with two, what is it called? Come on. Horns. Yeah, and a long tail and all that stuff. Ugly looking creature. But really think of this. Satan is not ugly as we think he is. He must be a really most handsome person ever seen. Because how would you get attracted to him? Anyway, so I don't want to imagine how Satan looks. That would be a futile waste of, I never wanted to waste my time on that. But I wanted to use this image. Now, I'm not saying this image works like Satan's work. Okay? Now, if you're a part of a leadership team, we meet once in a month to come and discuss and pray and spend some time together. So every month, Helen works really hard. I don't really know how she manages to do it. But she will always bring a box of tea with some cake or some delicious cookies and all that stuff that she makes at home, and she brings it to share with us. Now, that's a big, big thing, okay? So if you don't have any other thing, if you don't find any other reason to join the leadership team, remember this image. It can be a very good reason to join the leadership team. But the reason I use this image this morning is I am a very disciplined man, okay, when it comes to the food. Not. I generally eat early in the evening, and I try not to eat anything after that. And every time there's a leadership team meeting, I tell myself, okay, I'm just going to take a tea this evening, and I'm not going to eat anything. So, and then I come with that preparation, and I come to the church, and then there is, would I like to have some? I thought, come on. I didn't want to, but it looks so nice. And I just go and have it. This reminds me of the situation that Eve must have been. You know, we read about Genesis chapter 3 this morning. I don't know why this story has made an apple that cursed fruit. That fruit that Eve ate. I don't know if you've ever seen an image where the apple is not shown. There's always an apple. Eve is always standing next to an apple tree. And there's always a serpent there, which is the true account. But why an apple? I don't know. But this is what I want to talk about, because there are two important things that I would like to mention. Oh, can we go back? Can we go back? Yeah. That's my conclusion. No, it's fine. It's fine, Ollie. It's fine. It's good to be out there. There are two things that I would like to mention this morning. You know, Genesis chapter 3 is one of those passages which is studied by the marketing world. You know why? Why do you think the marketing world studies that chapter? Because they want to draw out the marketing principles used by Satan. And they lie to us. You know, one of the strongest principles that they draw out from this passage is I'm losing my word here. Is making you feel that you need it. See, Eve was in the Garden of Eden. She was not in a place which had nothing to eat. She was not in a place where she had no options. But she was in the Garden of Eden, which we know that God created. And then in chapter 2, God creates Adam and Eve and makes them in charge of this garden. And says, you have freedom to eat from any tree, except from the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and bad. And then there is this, one of these two trees that serpent finds and say, that's the one that I'm going to use. Now, when we enter into chapter 3, you know, Satan says, it says in chapter 3, verse 1, did God really say not to eat fruit from any tree? Was that the thing that God said? What did God say in chapter 2, verse 16 and 17? God said this to Adam and Eve, or Adam, and then Eve, Adam communicated it to Eve. You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die. My dear church family, what Satan cleverly does is he deviates the truth. He creates a space in our hearts and in our minds that we deviate from the truth that we find in the Word of God. And I would like to really focus on this fact, that this is the truth. There is no truth that exists in the world that is contradictory to this truth. And that is something that Satan does. He deviates the truth that God has given to us. He stood there, or he was there, and he told Eve, did God really say not to eat the fruit from any tree? And Eve, then it became a space in Eve's heart where she allowed Satan to deviate, which allowed Satan to deviate Eve from the truth that God had told them. As a result of that, and the other thing, Eve ate from that fruit. Satan does the same thing even today. There are so many things that we believe, even me, myself, all of us, that we think, oh, this must be true, or this is the truth. And we live our life based on those aspects and elements that we think is the truth. One of the truth that Satan spreads in the world is having people believe that God doesn't love them. There are so many people out there who have no experience or no wisdom or no... I don't know why I'm losing my words this morning. Who have not accepted the truth that God loves them, and they believe that God doesn't love them. And that is a lie. The other few things that I have written down here this morning are, there is another belief. At times, the world believes that we basically are good people. We make mistakes and mess up things, but nobody's perfect. But we are good at heart. And that's fine with God. That is a lie. The other aspect, people believe, being true to yourself and following your heart and live authentically, is that's what being Christian about. That is not. That is a lie. The other aspect, there are people maybe here this morning that if I believe in the Lord, if I follow him faithfully and trust him truly, all my troubles would go, all my sickness would go, and I would be blessed, and I would have all the good health, and I would get all sorts of worldly blessings that I think are good for me. And if I trust in the Lord, I would get that. That is a lie. the other one, God loves me, and I have accepted him as my Savior, and therefore anything and everything that I do is fine. That is a lie. These are just a few things that I have mentioned this morning. But is there any other lie, do you think, the world believes in, we believe in, that you would like to mention here this morning? Yeah. It's not okay. Something that's very wrong is the word, oh, it's only a white lie. Oh, it's only a white lie. A lie is a lie. Yeah, having a belief or thinking that I have to be perfect and completely fine in order to be in the relationship with the Lord, and that is a lie. Whatever is right for you is okay. That is a big lie. Yes, and that's a big lie. Sorry, Natalia. You're too young to be Christian. That is a lie.
It's okay to believe in other religions because every way leads to God.
Yeah, Christ is not the way. Christ is a way. One among many ways to reach to the heaven. That is a lie.
That the Bible is out of date and old-fashioned, and so we need to update it to suit our culture today.
That is a lie.
That all people are essentially good and are born with a good nature, and if anybody perpetrates a terrible atrocity, it must have been that they were mistreated at some point, and that's why they did that, rather than acknowledging that the heart of human beings are evil and need the Lord God to transform them.
Ooh, that is a lie. I, this morning, we can think of so many different things, my dear friends. Because Satan skillfully deviates the truth. The simple core gospel is that God loves us the way we are. And that is not the end. That is just a comma. And I can repeat this truth every Sunday, that God loves us the way we are to enable us to become who He wants us to be. And there is no other truth apart from this. And Satan deviates us from this truth. What Satan did successfully there in the Garden of Eden with Eve was he took her attention from God and he said, you would become like God. Ooh, that's powerful. He wanted to become like God. He was a big failure. He got kicked out of heaven just because of that. And now he is here in Garden of Eden telling Eve that if you eat this fruit, you would become like God. My dear church family, what Satan does and has done and has successfully done, he has taken our attention from God and he has enabled us and made us to focus everything and making everything just about me. You know, I call it I, me, myself curtain, or I, me, myself wall. Every everything that we do is about I, me, myself. We have put ourselves above God. And therefore, when he said, you would become like God, that was a very tempting offer. 50% sell. Black Friday is coming. And Amazon ads or things will come. Oh, you might need this. We had a television ad in India, and I think Douglas might be able to remember this. Onida, do you remember your owner's pride and evil's neighbor's envy? Anyway, it's an old ad. So there was this television ad, and their brand ambassador also dressed up like an evil man. And the tagline was, owner's pride and neighbor's envy. So you take it. You better take it. Because it will make your life better. That's the advertising message. Every year, phone companies launches new phone. The message is, it will make your life better. Doing what? Sending the same text messages, taking the same photographs, checking the same emails. That's the message. If you buy this car, your life would be better. If you buy new shirts, your life would be better. If you buy a new dress, your life would be better. That's the message Satan gave to Eve. You eat this fruit and you would become like God. And that is how he has broken the bonds that we have with the Lord. That is how he broke the relationship that Adam and Eve had with God. And that is what he does even today. You know, I think, and I might be completely wrong when I'm saying this, that the reason we are seeing the decline in churches is because we have successfully hidden ourselves behind this curtain and wall of I, me, myself. You know, the message of the Bible is love your neighbors as yourself. And the message of Satan is just love yourself. That's enough. You don't have to love money. You don't have to love anything else. Just love yourself. Because naturally, when you love yourself, you'll try to run behind everything else. And that's what he did. My dear church family, we need to see things from God's perspective. We need to understand what it means to love neighbors as ourselves. We need to understand that God's truth is the truth. The world has messages for us, which is the deviation from the truth. And as always, so what? That's what Satan does. So what? So what we must do, another opportunity for the church family to share. What we must do? Fine, Satan is there, he deviates. He deviates from the God's truth, he diverts our attention from God to ourselves, and that has damaged our lives, our church, our community. So what we must do? Ephesians 6, put on the armor of God.
Develop our relationship with the Lord intimately. Spend time with him and the words that we know what the truth is. So when we're confronted with a lie, we're able to say, hang on a minute, that's not quite how it should be.
We're told if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And one way of doing that is knowing the word of God.
Yes.
And quoting it at him.
Yes. The strategy used by Jesus.
Probably the same thing, but...
Yeah, learn the truth. Learn the truth.
So that when Satan tells you a lie and you think bad thing about yourself or bad thing about something else, what God says in the Bible verse and stuff, so that you can contradict that lie and say, no, that's not from God, that's Satan, this isn't true, and help you get back on track.
And that's fine to repeat the truth because it is the truth.
Out loud.
Out loud, yes.
capture each thought and make it obedient to Christ?
Yes. Every opportunity.
Devotion, consistent devotion, discipline, and determination. And having a clear vision from the Bible what God wants you to do.
Wonderful.
If you don't know it, sometimes you don't. You can seek the help and comfort of other Christians to help you.
Yes. You know, one of the lies that I wanted to mention, I didn't try it there, was, it is okay if I don't go to church every Sunday. And that is a lie. Now you would say, where does Bible say so? But Bible says, grow in fellowship with one another. I cannot love someone in isolation. If I have experienced God's love and want to share God's love, I cannot love someone in isolation. That would naturally take me out to share God's love. There are a few so whats that I have on the screen here. Next slide, please. There they are. Sorry. See? By studying the Bible more, we have lost the art of daily devotion. How many of us here this morning have read the Word of God before coming or stepping out of our bed or out of our house this morning? I'm not asking you to raise your hands, but it's a question. Ask yourself. The other way is join the house groups. Be in the part of groups where you study God's word more intimately. That is also another place of developing meaningful connections. It is good to ask ourselves a question. When did I hide myself behind the wall of I, me, myself, instead of stepping out to be with someone or help someone? The next two ones are the practical ones, and see if you would like to do that. Identify one thing that you are good at and take a step out intentionally to do it for at least two people. And if you think here, sitting here, think, oh, I already do that, add two more people this week. Do it for them. The next one is a bit difficult. Difficult, but not impossible. Stepping up for the kingdom. The next step would be to identify one specific area of ministry or service inside or outside the church. I'm not asking you to come next after as soon as the service comes and say sign up for ministry. If you do that, would be great. We always need more people with youth and Sunday club. We need someone for social media as well. Anyway, inside or outside the church that currently feels intimidating, and commit to trusting God by trying it, knowing that He equips those He calls. The truth that we find in the Bible. And there can be many more things that we can think of this morning. But my dear church family, know that Satan is the created being. Know that he is not powerful than God. Know that he deviates from the truth that we find in the Bible. Know that he moves our attention from God and forces us or enables us to focus on ourselves. And the most important thing, know that God is there to help us overcome everything and anything in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, we want to thank you for your presence in our life, Lord. Presence that is there with us at each and every moment of our life. Lord, we thank you for being that ever-present help in our life, Lord. We pray, Lord, here this morning that you help us, Lord, to see and identify areas in our life, Lord, or things that we believe which are not the truth, and to know what is the truth by opening your word, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to be willing to listen to your voice as we speak with one another. Help us to be willing to listen to your voice as we read your word, Lord. And help us to grow in you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.